G'day and thank you for visiting the Pioneer Australia website to listen to the sessions from this year's conference 2018. This session is session 2 by Linda Ward.
It's really good to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And I just feel at home. Myself and my family, we've been to Australia before, 3 years ago, and we have friends who moved out to Sydney 4 years ago. They received their citizenship in the next year, and we just spent a few days with them before we came here. Rick has stayed with us a couple of times, first time with his dad and younger son, this year with Sue and Luke, and Caro stayed a couple of times with us too over the last 2 years. So it's just been great to meet them beforehand, Kevin before that, and just feel in touch a bit with some of your journey. Just a little bit about myself for those who've arrived today, just to put into context who I am. So as Lydia said, I lead a church in West London called Bless. The name, people often think, oh, what a really weird name, but it's all after Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, blessing, going out to be a blessing. And I just kind of feel, just hearing that story of on the video, it's just so much of what you guys are about, which is really giving away and releasing and impacting. I also am part of the Pioneer team, so it's great fun working with Billy and the rest of the team. And I'm particularly responsible for looking after the London region of churches, which has about sort of 11 to 14 churches, Pioneer churches. And also I'm the first Pioneers National Ecumenical Lead. Woo! And essentially, it's quite funny because before I was released to this role, I'd represent Billy often as he's one of the presidents of the Churches Together in England, and often rock up to various meetings and gatherings. And I'm just really struck by how this relatively small network, actually, over in different nations, actually has an incredible impact. And the name of Pioneer is thought of really positively. So I share that with you because it's really encouraging that Pioneer has a very, very positive reputation. As I said, mum to 2 children, Eleanor, who's just going about to go into her last year of university, our son Alfred, who's 17, he's just taking his last year of A-levels. I'm married to Richard, who is an amazing man. I honour him, and I honour the men here who release the women. I couldn't do what I do without my husband. He runs his own business. I helped him and his brother set up the business about 6 years ago, worked with them for 2 years as an account exec. Wouldn't want to do it again. I did it for a couple of years, and it's just juggling everything. You can't do everything. So, you know, it was good to help the business because it meant they didn't have to employ somebody full-time. I just work part-time, but really glad that other people are now doing that work where it's necessary. And so I guess over the years, and I also co-chair a network of about 150 leaders across denominations. And into that context, we spawned Food Bank. We have about 7 centres now in our borough. Our borough houses about 340,000 people. And the international mix is huge. I think 20 years ago, there were something like 78 languages spoken in the borough. Today, there are something like 180. So it's huge, very, very mixed culturally. We've got like little mini India in Southall. We've got, you know, Acton, which is more kind of black culture. And it's just very, very mixed. But I love it. I'm grateful to God for all the opportunities over the years. So that's just a little bit about me. We're a relational network. We're a relational network. And I guess what I really felt prompted by the Spirit to bring this morning is to complement what Billy has brought in terms of the vision and the bigger picture. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will really touch specifically our hearts and our minds this morning and really minister to us specifically. Because actually, who cares for the leaders? Sometimes it can be really tough. It can be really hard work. And I really sense in my spirit that God wants to encourage you and myself this morning specifically. So I actually want to talk into a whole subject, which might be an odd one to choose, but handling disappointment. And I want to unpack that because it is something that we all face in different phases at different times. And I guess I also felt prompted in the worship this morning. I really do sense that I'm not looking to stir up stuff that actually doesn't need to be stirred up, okay? So could you just permission yourselves, because all of us live with and have journeyed through different realms of disappointment. So I'm really not looking at stirring and digging, but actually what I'm looking for, what I'm praying for, is that the Holy Spirit will actually bring revelation, will bring a fresh touch this morning. And I really don't care if actually you zone out of anything that I share, but the Holy Spirit deposits something in your head, in your heart, brilliant. Then go with that and respond to what God is prompting. So I just want to ask us to permission one another this morning in terms of going deeper. So is that okay?
Yeah,
so I would just love to pray into that this morning. So let us pray and just put us in our heads and in our hearts, I guess, into a place, just posture ourselves, which is really open to our Heavenly Daddy. Anything that He wants to bring to us this morning, let us just welcome His love into our lives. Jesus, karabara di tara soranda rasiana, rara bara bara di tara sukoyara di tara sora di tara siana, rada rahara di tara shara bara di tara soyana, ki karabara di tara soranda rasora bara di tara si, rara bara 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 di tara soyana, rana mara bara 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 di tara shora bara di tara so, rahete tara kora di tara sora di tara so. Father, we thank you that you are good. You are good. You are good, and you love us, and you know us. And you formed us. You have journeyed with us. You do journey with us. You're in front of us. You're behind us. You're beside us. You champion us. You encourage us. And Father, we recognize that in our journeys in life, there will always be stuff that will seek to take us off course, to grab our attention and defocus us. And Father, there is just the stuff of life which can get in the way of the direction we're going. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, would you come powerfully this morning? Would you touch us and allow us, Father, as we permission ourselves to be in touch with our feelings, to be in touch with our emotions, to be in touch with our inner selves, to not be afraid. We give you permission to touch us afresh, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm a visual person. I come from an arts background, so I'm just going to. There'll be various pictures, and I'll explain what some of them mean. What a brilliant title! Come to the table, and as we look to ourselves and examine our actions, our attitudes, and we want to look to Jesus and His impact on us, we want to bring to the table, as well as in part of our conversation. Actually, I pray this morning there will be disappointments that actually we can actually land on the table, and allow to be released to our precious Jesus this morning. You see, handling disappointment is key for us as leaders. We can engage in, if you like, in seasons of hope, even in disappointment. And it's so essential for us as leaders to be modeling the ability to grapple with disappointment. So as I said, I do want to ask us to permission ourselves, to be real, to be honest. Essentially, we are all qualified to give this talk this morning. We just are, because in this room collectively, there's a whole shed load of disappointments that we carry between us. There just is. So any of us actually could really give this talk this morning. But there is a real authority that is released when we reject disappointment. And I want to talk specifically into that this morning. And I do not want to be unreal. And I do not want to be just ultra victorious and it's all dead easy. My goodness me, God wants us to be real. We're a relational network. We're about being authentic and honest and not just being religious. We're about grappling with our King Jesus. So I just want to encourage us to not be afraid. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to lament. It's okay, because that is part of disappointment. And God is not afraid of that. Sometimes we might be afraid of how we are, how we perceive maybe God thinks us or others think of us. But God is not afraid for us to grieve and to lament and to do business. You see, there's one thing predictable in life, and that is basically we will all be disappointed at one point. Now, we've just experienced the World Cup. I love the World Cup. I don't necessarily follow football any other time. When it comes to the World Cup, I am there. I love it. And I have lived through decades, as I have a Billy and Colin, which Eleanor, I think, and our son Alfred were scratching their head recently at how animated certainly I became in the football. We've had our years of being disappointment or just about trying to get to the quarterfinal. And what's funny is, and thank you for your commiserations that we didn't make it through to the final. But do you know what? Our nation is so thrilled because we have dealt with years of disappointment of not getting any further. So for us, we're actually pretty chuffed. I won't mention the cricket. And it's fascinating, if you like, the disappointment in a nation. I mean, Richard and I, after the last England match that they won, we got into our car and we were just driving and everyone's bibbing their horns, people like cheering. It's like the nation's on fire, the nation's positive, and we haven't even won. You know, I mean, my goodness. But isn't it fascinating how disappointment can affect a nation? Brexit, I'm telling you now, living in London, it's like we're in a little London bubble. I couldn't understand. A lot of us were scratching our heads. Well, my word, what's happened in the rest of the country? But I'm telling you, journeying with some of our younger leaders, some of them working in Parliament, really struggling. I was like, my goodness me, I'm watching some of our younger guys grieving because of their future. It's hard. So disappointment can affect nations. It affects us. So I kind of want to speak into just our own personal journeys, but also there might be other things that God wants to touch on this morning. You see, disappointment can start when you're young. If your parents aren't parenting well, it can start if your teachers are bullies at school. It can impact. It can impact if your friends turn on you for no reason. It can impact if actually you don't pass an exam or you actually don't pass with a grade actually you particularly wanted. It can happen later on in life where someone you care about betrays you. You lose a job you loved or maybe you were let go of. And you invested yourself in so many loyal years. So basically, disappointment affects us all. Now, you can't see that too well, but actually, believe it or not, that is a picture of some cocktail sausages. And I will explain. Now, recently, and some of the guys in the UK will probably know what's coming next, I was at the new bishop in London, who's a woman, first woman bishop, at her sort of installation recently. And Billy wasn't able to go, so he said, Linda, could you go? And I'm delighted to go. So I went to this amazing ceremony, and afterwards we went to a reception. And actually, I didn't realise this, but there were the blue tickets and the pink tickets. Now, I didn't know that actually the pink tickets were the best tickets, and I was given a pink ticket. But actually, I met somebody there who, in our school context, who was really, really miffed that actually he had a blue ticket. I had a pink ticket. So I thought, well, I'll just pop into this little reception, popped in, and of all things, I ate a cocktail. Now, I have to put into context, I actually have various unusual allergies. Now, have you ever heard of a birch oral allergy? No? Okay, neither had I. But basically, I can't be anywhere if potatoes or parsnips are being peeled. That's great, because the rest of the family have to do them. So I don't mind. So basically, I've got these really weird, sometimes strange allergies. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out what I'm allergic to. There's no test for the reactions that I have. So there are these amazing canopies going around. I'm like thinking, oh, I'd love to try that. But I won't. Do you know what? I'll be safe with a cocktail sausage. So I thought. So in pop the sausage, I'm talking to a colleague, and immediately I felt this reaction. Absolutely immediately. I thought, oh gosh, it's got stuck, and I can't swallow. So I go out to the bathroom, I try and, you know, deal with it, couldn't deal with it. Short story is, I ended up going home on a tube, couldn't swallow my own saliva. So I've now got a little cup. Now, can you imagine, this is really embarrassing, on a tube in London, in the corner of the carriage, spitting into this cup. I don't know what people thought I was. I don't know what they thought I was doing, but it was really awkward. And I was on that tube for about 40 minutes, spitting in the cup, got home. And all the time I'm thinking, I'm sure it will pass, because this major reaction had never happened before. I'm sure it will pass. So I tried a sip of water, worst thing I could have done. In fact, I realised that water really sets it off, which you think is the opposite to what you think might happen if you want to get something unstuck from your esophagus. So anyway, ended up in hospital. But before that, I was in my bed and I was praying. I was like, God, come on, please heal me. I know you can. And essentially, it was actually, although it sounds quite funny, it was actually incredibly frightening. And I absolutely thought in the middle of the night, oh my word, I actually think I could go. This could be my time to go. And I felt really, really disappointed that God had not healed me. So cross that I went silent on him. I refused to talk to him. I just said to him, I said, I don't believe now is my time. I've got too much to do. I do not believe now is my time. And I don't want to hear that you're going to say to me, it's time to come home. I'm not ready. So I went silent on God. I didn't talk to him for 2 days. No lie. We then had a bit of a giggle about it 2 days later, because actually all things God allows to happen, because sometimes he allows these things to happen. And even though I was really, really cross with him, I went silent. But do you know what? God was big enough to deal with my disappointment. He was big enough to deal with the fact I didn't want to talk to him. You know, bit of a strop. I was not happy. I was really, really scared. So I want to encourage us to be real with what we feel. Now, all of us would have been gripped recently by these boys in Thailand. Wasn't it incredible, amazing rescue of these boys? Absolutely incredible. And the expectations were high. I remember watching one of the early reports about these boys and seeing the nation call to prayer. I know a lot of them are into Buddhism, but they were praying. And the determination to pray for these boys to be healed, I just thought, there's no way, they can't be alive. And all these kids, a huge expectation. There's a quote there. You know, it says this, as Alexander Pope, who was an 18th century English poet, "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." So if we want to avoid disappointment, we just got to have no expectations, which for a bunch of leaders like us, in Pioneer, it's just not going to happen. You know, we do not want to set our course to actually have low expectations. But it is pretty tough to do in a world which is high on expectations. Today, parents are preparing their kids for university when they can't even read or write. You know, the culture that we live in terms of high expectations is absolutely huge. You know, kids learn fairy tales. I am really concerned about our younger generations coming through. That actually, how do we teach them to handle disappointment? It really burdens me. Because actually now people are wired to expect the best. And I believe it's the enemy's plan to knock off course a generation who do not know how to handle disappointment. I pray we preach this in our churches. I pray we give room and space in our churches to deal with the stuff of life, because it is part of the stuff of life. You see, our brains, our minds are so complex. And you could possibly say the final frontier of science. The brain is just, I mean, my goodness me, it's so incredibly complex. And it's known as the most complex organ, object in the whole of the universe. Something like 100 billion neurons, close to a quadrillion connections between them, and we don't even fully understand a single cell. Our minds, our brains are complex. But even into all of that, and I also want to actually speak in a little bit about depression, because there can be triggers in our brains which can trigger a physiological response in the brain which can point towards a tendency towards depression. And I just want to say a little bit into that, is it essential that we draw from medical help where we need it? We must not be dismissing that in the church and thinking we can just cast out demons and there we go, all hunky-dory. No. You see, God, he encompasses all of that. You know, if I pray for healing, I also pray alongside the medics, God, give them wisdom. Use it all. Let us not be afraid of the gifts that God has given in the broken world in which we live. But the choice of staying in disappointment isn't a good one. And this is what I want to speak into this morning. We can choose. Okay? We can choose. Now, think about a particular scenario yourselves. Something that's happened where you've been disappointed. It's past. It's gone. You can't influence it. You can't change it. You can certainly replay over again and again things I would have done, things I could have done, things I should have done. And we can be, you know, we can get caught up in our minds with that. And it's so easy within leadership for us to grapple with that. Oh, if only I did this, if only I did that. Because disappointment comes in all sizes. In itself, disappointment is not a sin, but it's crucial with how we handle it. So could we please say, disappointment is not a sin? Disappointment is not a sin. Let's say it again. Disappointment is not a sin. It's not a sin. You see, Jesus was disappointed. Jesus, our perfect model, he was disappointed. He experienced it. The disciples experienced acute disappointment. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he would usher in a messianic kingdom. Instead, he was killed, crucified, and buried. All their hopes, all their expectations were buried with him in that tomb. They were disappointed. They expected Israel to be rescued from Roman oppression when the Messiah came. Instead, the one whom they thought had set their hearts on, he died a criminal's death on a Roman's cross. They would have been disappointed. Didn't work out how they expected. But God had a much bigger plan than the one foretold in the Old Testament. We know Jesus died, rose again, and the freedom that he has given has ultimately, essentially enabled him to identify with us and our humanity. He's identified with us as ordinary people, God in a body, who also died a death. But Jesus himself, can you imagine how he would have felt being betrayed by one of his closest friends? And not only ignored and ushered into a corner, that betrayal left to him being killed. Do we really think Jesus was not disappointed? Man, his heart, you see him grappling in the Garden of Gethsemane. My goodness. The lament. Jesus did it. It's good enough for him. It's good enough for us. I've got a diagram here. So in itself, disappointment is not a sin, but how we handle it's crucial. You see, disappointment is like a little pyramid. It's the first step or seed that can impact our faith negatively. And it sounds harmless, but actually it's the tip of the iceberg that can stop our spiritual growth and make us bitter and defeated. That's the reality. Sometimes maybe disappointment, we could think of it as a test that God has permitted to see if actually we'll continue trusting him and believing that he is good. You know, why God allows all these things to happen, I do not know. But he does. And he's much bigger than our understanding. But actually, if we allow that disappointment and those seeds to fester and to grow, and we go over and over and over, that can lead to huge discouragement. And if we allow that discouragement to grow and we cultivate it and we breathe on it and we give it space, it can actually lead to disillusionment. How many people do we know in church context who've actually experienced disappointment? Maybe with one of the leaders. And if that's nursed and rehearsed, they end up being discouraged and then can end up completely disillusioned because it's been cultivated. It's not given room to be dealt with. And that can easily spiral down into depression. And ultimately, that ends us in a place of defeat. I have seen somebody very close to me go right the way through that whole cycle. And it's frustrating because I just think, please don't remain in that place and nurse and rehearse and nurse and rehearse. And actually, sometimes medical help, professional help, psychological help, counselling is needed. Can I just say, please, leaders, permission yourselves? Where professional help is needed, draw from it. Not everything could be cast out in a demon. Life would be so much easier if it could be. And I'm into casting out demons, but that is not the answer to every situation. I know you know it. I'm just preaching it. So has a person disappointed you often? Has a colleague maybe not spoken well of you? Or about your team? Or somebody not been upfront with you? Maybe a colleague hasn't been faithful to you and they've addressed their concerns to somebody else. God wants us as a relational network to foster such a healthy culture in terms of how we do this together and how we deal with the stuff which does come, will come, won't stop. He wants us to not spiral down that awful defeatist triangle. But There's some bad news, there's some good news. And very shortly I'm coming into land, and I want us to give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to touch us, as I believe he already is now. You see, the bad news is, you know this, Satan has a strategy to invade our spirits, our emotions, our thoughts, our thinking. And he wants to spiral us down until we get defeated. You know, stuff happens in church life. And we can spend and consume so much time in thinking, what do others think? Such a ploy of the enemy. Especially within leadership, you can't spill out the beans and share the whole picture. We just have to trust. It's like, okay, well, we need to trust. So that's the bad news. The tip of the wedge seems harmless. Disappointment is not a sin. But God does not want us to end. And can I just say, I'm not being unreal here. It's not like you suddenly snap out of disappointment. Actually, it could be you live with disappointment. My goodness me, I'm very aware of disappointments I still live with. But those feelings do not govern my emotions. You know, I do live with disappointments. They haven't just disappeared. So I think about our leadership team and changes that I particularly brought into being about 4 years ago. I really felt God speak to me, and then I explored that with our team and our advisors about the direction our church was going, and I felt we're not fit for purpose. We were 5 years ago. We're not now. We need to make some changes. But some of those changes I knew potentially could result in quite mammoth changes for people I love, for people I care about. And I, at the end of the day, as leaders, we're not in control of how other people respond to those changes. You know, it was easier for me because I was in that position of authority of able to bring about change. I wasn't on the receiving end of that. So we try to do it carefully, sensitively, wisely. We brought in change, particularly to release a younger generation. We had all these amazing leaders in their 20s coming through. I thought, great, make space. I don't want them to inherit what I have inherited and lived with for the last 20 years. I want them to have a clean sheet in order to be released. And so there are a number of key leaders we released into that space. And then I had to deal with my own disappointment how some of them didn't last the journey. So it's like, oh, my word, what was all that for? What was all that for? So then you self-doubt. Oh, you're a rubbish leader. Why did you do that? You know, you should have just kept it as it was. Well, if I go through that scenario in my brain, no, we couldn't have kept it as it was. It needed to change. But I'm living with disappointment. So it's like, great, what do I do now? So I'm praying, and we're praying as a team. And there's been, new people now released. It's like, well, that's taken about 3 years. I've lived with disappointment. And do you know what? I've also had to guard myself when I felt myself, and I didn't realize I was doing this, almost protecting myself. I felt God say to me, Linda, are you dare to go again? Will you dare? Because when we give ourselves, as we do as leaders, you give everything. We give our lives. You pour out your lives into others. We give everything. So when we are faced with situations which do not work out as we intended or as we felt God planned, it can be hard, it can be painful, and we can live with disappointment. But it's okay, because disappointment's not a sin. But what we want God to do is to deal with our hearts, our emotions. We can sometimes need to lament and to grieve what is not. And that's all part of a journey. So I'm not saying, don't hear what I'm not saying. Let's be unreal, victorious, and hey, it doesn't affect me. It's okay. But God does not want our spirits and our minds to be bogged down and consumed and dragged down, which is the ploy of the enemy, with our disappointment. So I want to talk about the good news. And this is something which, if you like, is the antidote. Now, this isn't exhausted. This is just like a few thoughts by Linda Wall. So, and from a few scriptures. So this is not exhaustive. But actually, I think this is good advice. And I think this is a good advice for anybody who doesn't even believe in God. So scripture's great, isn't it? Even if someone doesn't believe in Christ, you know what? There's great advice in there. We can give it. So this is a lovely picture of someone dancing in the street. And I want to talk about thankfulness. And this is where I want to come into land. And it says in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. See, we can prevent the wedge penetrating our spirits, our hearts, our minds, our leadership. We can prevent it by being real, but cultivating thankfulness. And I just want to talk a little bit about that. You see, gratitude and gladness can release so much in us to overcoming maybe the fear of something bad happening again, bitterness taking root in our spirits, or if you like, it's a disappointment of something that's not fair. Do you know what? Leadership stuff happens and it is not fair. You know, I've had bad things said about me when we did all these changes 4 years ago that went out into our community. That was not fair. But I thought, I can't live for what other people think. I have to be faithful to what I believe God has called me to. I have to trust that God will look after my reputation, that I don't have to go explaining myself. I've got to be clear with what he's asked me to do and be faithful to my daddy in heaven. Years later, it's like how things come round. And within our family context, which was challenging, things have come round. Because actually, if you see somebody harboring bitterness in their hearts, it's maybe okay initially because they're disappointed, they're carrying hurt and pain. When it goes on and on and on, people aren't stupid. Our people aren't stupid. Our churches aren't stupid. And I found myself in this place of thinking, I want to stand up and tell everybody, you know, this is what happened, not that. I can't do that. I've just got to get on with it. Put my head down. Down to get on and move on. You know, I'm not going to stay still. I'm not going to be held by what other people think. So I just want to briefly talk about something, and I've got Eleanor's permission to talk about this, but this just kind of anchors it, about how we cultivate thankfulness, even when we think, I've got nothing in me and I'm in the darkest of places. Our beautiful daughter was born with a congenital shortening of the right fib and tib and a right leg. In fact, we were offered a termination at my 20-week scan. The doctors said all sorts of things that could be wrong with Eleanor. None of them have come into being. And here we have our amazing daughter, who I'm so thankful that even in, I'm telling you, a fraction of a split second, I thought, can I cope with a child that I have no idea if they'll be able to do anything? Can I cope? In my darkest moment, it was a split second, but it was there. And it's like, no. And so when we prayed all the way through the pregnancy, and Eleanor's Greg leg grew, but it didn't make all the shortening. And it remembers being prayed for by Cheyenne, who was a particular evangelist who prayed. Eleanor's leg grew, not all the shortening. So actually, Eleanor went through 2 years of surgery, 10 operations over 2 years, with a metal frame. Eleanor's leg was broken, extended. So I have to say, she's a great girl and very strong and very determined. She never made a fuss. But it was hard for Eleanor. So this is just now a little bit of my perspective, of what God taught me. But it was hard, because it was really hard seeing someone we really loved and care about. You know, as a parent, Richard and I are thinking, have we made the right decision? Have we made the right? The first time we saw her come out of the theatre, and we're looking at a leg with this huge structure on it, thinking, oh, it's the sort of structures that people have if they have car crashes. We're talking, you know, 15 metal pins going through your leg. This young 11-year-old girl. Oh, my word, have we made a mistake? And then what that meant for Eleanor, for us, looking after Eleanor, cleaning those pin sites. You know, this first frame was on for a year, wasn't it? And it ended up causing constant pin site infections. So Eleanor had an operation, was on the table for, it was supposed to be an hour and a half op, like 6 hours later. In fact, after hour three, Richard and I realised something's really wrong here. So we're going to book a holiday. And that's what we did. What else do you do? You know, you're thinking, we're going to need a good time after this. So we booked a holiday. So we knew we had that to look forward to. And a place that we knew Eleanor would love and where she would be comfortable and we would love too. But do you know what? In those years, which were tough, I'm really pleased. I'm grateful to God I've done this. Over years, there have been opportunities. And it's like within seasons, it's like it's not the season to say yes. I need to say no. And there were many opportunities I turned down. I thought, I can't do that. It's not appropriate for me to do. I'm going to trust God with what he's called me to. And actually, I'm going to just say no, because actually, I need to be here and I need to be with my family. And there were times where it was really tough. I'm lamenting with God. But in those times, what God taught me was to cultivate thankfulness. You see, every time I was washing and hanging things up to dry, and I was doing things which I found really laborious, much, much more than I was doing, I cultivated, and I allowed God to cultivate in me an attitude of thankfulness. It's like, I'm going to hang up every sock to dry as though it was the Lord's. I am going to do, you know, all these boring things that I don't enjoy doing. I'm going to do it to please God. And God produced in me a thankfulness in actually quite a hard time. You see, God can and is big enough in our lament, in our grieving, in our disappointments, in our difficulties, in some, you know, church splits or relational challenges. In all of that, you know, God is there journeying with us, wants us to be released, wants us to cultivate thankfulness, even in our trauma. You see, God wants to give us perspective. We can rejoice that his plans for us are good. And I just want to read this because I love this. We can learn from the writer in Psalm 73 what he learned when he contemplated all the injustice around him, the success of the wicked, the troubles of the righteous. He lost his perspective. But where did he gain? He went to God's house. And that's where his thinking and his focus were adjusted. And I just want to read this amazing, amazing psalm. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire but besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. You see, the psalmist learned that actually, at the end of the day, when you have nothing left, we have God and God is enough. And doesn't mean that our questions won't all be answered. Doesn't mean that all our situations will be improved or changed. But actually, we can set our heart on God, who actually ultimately will never disappoint us. You see, I love this in Habakkuk. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Habakkuk learned the same lesson. So I want to come into land, and I'm going to ditch out the final things that I felt. Well, I can touch on them, which is practically adjust our expectations. Some of us might need to adjust some of our expectations in certain situations. I'm not talking being mediocre and being down here, but we just might need, because actually in church culture, we have pretty high expectations. Some might just need to be adjusted. We need to learn from our defeats and the things that don't go well. We can learn from them, and that's fine. We can rejoice. Investing into relationships is absolutely key. Do not go it alone. You see, another ploy of the enemy is to cause us to put our arms up around ourselves and to block others out. That could be our coping mechanism. God wants us to journey with one another, and he wants us to go deeper with him. You see, he says, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. So as we've got a little bit of time left, I hope to be able to respond to the Spirit of God. Can we just pause for a minute? Because I do believe that there are specific areas, this is not general stirring up, but there are specific areas the Holy Spirit wants to minister to us this morning. Because he loves us. He wants us whole. He wants us healed. And some things will take time. We might be right in the middle of them. I believe God wants to give you particular encouragement this morning. I also believe for some of you, God is saying, do not be too hard on yourselves. Give yourselves a break. Don't be too hard. We can be so hard on ourselves. Don't be too hard. God's not.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this session from the Pioneer Conference Australia. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.